We're out in sunny California, and we're talking with a very sunny person by the name of Lillian Randolph, who is a very important name in the area of radio and television, too. How are you this morning?
I'm feeling just fine, thank you.
We want to know how you got started
in show business.
In show business.
Well, let's see. I might as well start the first time I appeared in public. I think I was 4 years old in my father's little Methodist church in Sewickley, Pennsylvania. That's about 12 miles from Pittsburgh. And there's where I sung my first song. And my sister Amanda, who played the mother on Amos and Andy, the mother-in-law, she played the piano for me. She was a little older than I. And we had a very, very nice little thing that we did in our father's church just that way. And we continued to appear in public at different concerts.
And your first, then, professional engagement?
Now, my first professional engagement, let me see, was in Chester Park in Cincinnati. And I sang there with a band. I was quite young. And I was frightened about making the audition. And my sister made it for me. And we looked so much alike. And she had gotten another job. So she said, now you go take the job. The man won't know the difference between you and I. And I went there and he didn't know. And I stayed there for a couple of summer seasons.
And did he continue to call you Amanda, or did she audition
under
Lillian?
He just listened to the band. We'd go there in the evening, get up on the bandstand and do our little number, and come away. And I can't remember his name. It's been too long ago. But it was a nice job, I know.
Were you doing many other singing engagements then after that?
Yes, I continued to sing. And then in Cleveland, I started in radio on WTAM. And my first announcer on that was a man by the name of Red Barber. I don't know whether you remember.
Oh, surely.
Well, I started working there. And I was asked to come over to WXYZ and WJR to audition with a group. And fortunately, I was the only one in the group they chose. And Mr. Oh, my goodness, I must not forget his name. Trendle, George Trendle.
In Detroit.
In Detroit. He, that's when I left Cleveland, went over to Detroit. Mr. Trendle wanted me to do a skit, a Negro comedy skit. And he got a comedian by the name of Billy Mitchell. And I was taught, this sounds ridiculous, but it's the truth, I was taught Negro dialect by a Caucasian by the name of James Jewell, who was one of the originators of the Lone Ranger. And he was out of Chicago.
Right.
One of the nicest men I've ever met in my life. And I owe everything I've ever done in radio to Mr. Jewell. Well, I think now they've told me he has passed
away. He did. He passed away a little better than a year ago, I think.
Is that so? Wonderful man. And I worked there, and the whole time Mr. Jewell was training me, Mr. Trendle paid me $30 a week. And that was a lot of money during those days. And then he put us to work. And we did a little show called Lulu and Leander. And I had to do about five different voices, and so did Billy. But that's the way they were doing things in those days.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And I got anxious to get to the coast, young and ambitious, so out here I came. And my first show when I came out here was with Al Jolson on radio.
Was this the Lifebuoy show or the Shell Chateau?
This was the Lux Radio the Lux Radio Theater. I don't know. I can't remember who the sponsor was. And a gentleman here by the name of Dick Ryan, who has passed away too, he got the job for me. And I just went from one agency to another. They would call me whenever they'd want a Negro maid or cook or anything like that.
So you were doing more acting now than singing. Is that right?
Yes. Uh-huh. But when the acting would get slow, I'd go back to singing.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for a man in Hollywood on Hollywood Boulevard by the name of Larry Potter, who had a supper club. And while I was doing this radio work, I used to work for him at night.
Mm-hmm.
And if I got a picture call, well, I'd run and do that, which I worked as an extra then.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't ever had the good fortune of getting a character part. So just one job led to another. And from that, I got with Joe Penner, who used to say, you want to buy a duck?
Yeah.
And Al Pierce, uh-huh, who was a salesman.
Nobody home.
Hope.
Well, what did you do on those shows? Were you playing a...
The writers would mm-hmm. write in parts for me, and I mm-hmm. generally did the part of the maid or the mm-hmm. housekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And each producer that I would work with, I would learn something from him, and I'd just keep going, and I'd watch everybody and take in everything I saw and pile it up back in my mind that I could use that sometime. And finally, I got the Great Gildersleeve Show.
Now, how did that come about? And this was at the beginning of the Gildersleeve thing, right when it started. Weren't you in on that? Prior to that,
mm-hmm. I had done several Amos and Andy shows from 1937.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't working regularly on that. But the Gildersleeve Show was a regular show. I started in 1941.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't close until 1959.
That was a long haul. That was about 18 years. And you were on it for the full...
Well, the length of time.
...run of the show.
Now, the first Gildersleeve that we had was a man by the name of Hal Perry. And he was with us 9 years. And we had the Kraft Foods Company out of Chicago. And the agency that handled the show was Needham, Lewis, and Broerby. I don't know whether they still are in Chicago or not.
They are, but the names have changed a little bit.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So then I started doing the Gildersleeve Show, and then they would let me run over and do the Amos and Andy show whenever I was called.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hattie McDaniel was doing the Beulah show, and she got sick. And she asked me to take her place. And I continued doing the Beulah show for about 5 years. And I was doing all three of them at the same time.
All three? Now you were doing...
The Amos and Andy, Gildersleeve, and the Beulah show. Now, the Gildersleeve show was the regular show. That mm-hmm. was really my bread and butter.
And you were Bertie.
I was Bertie on the Great Gildersleeve.
And you were as much, in my mind, you were as much a star of that show, on that show, as Hal Perry or Willard Waterman or any of them. You were on every show.
Every show. Yeah. I never didn't miss one. And I've never been as happy in my life with a group of mm-hmm. people as I was with those folks.
How did you get that part of Bertie? How did that come about?
There was an audition out for this character.
Mm-hmm.
I heard of the audition. I was over at MGM singing with a group of people for some background music for a picture.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time I was to be at NBC to audition, we would be singing there at MGM. Mm-hmm. So I told the kids to cover for me. I was going to slip out. So I pointed my car so that I wouldn't have any trouble scooting away from there. And fortunately, just at the time I was to leave, or the length of time that it would take me to drive from MGM to NBC, we got a break.
Okay.
Coffee break.
Okay.
And I slipped out and got into my car, and I just shot over to NBC and ran all the way inside. And when I ran, into the place. I slid all the way across the floor.
Oh, my.
And the men in the control booth laughed, and I laughed, too. And there were loads of women in there waiting for it, and some had already auditioned. And I auditioned, and they said, "That's the gal we want."
I think they loved your laugh, probably, too, because we
maybe
did.
So. But, however, I got the job.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, they were the nicest people. Mr. Cecil Underwood was the producer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Harold Perry was great to work with. Great. A fine man. And he stayed there, I guess, until he got tired, and then Willard Waterman took it over.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was there 9 years. But I stayed right straight along.
Now, what, if you don't mind giving us a little... Birdie's eye view of the situation. How much rehearsal did that particular show take? What, you know, from the end of the, you finished one broadcast, what did it take to get the next Gildersleeve broadcast on?
We would go
it started on Sundays, I believe. It
well,
was on
we
Sunday
would,
afternoon
yes,
initially.
But we would go there perhaps Friday,
mm-hmm,
and work with the show, and sometimes the different parts would have to be changed. And we worked too many hours. And by the way, we were sitting on that stage when Pearl Harbor was bombed.
Oh, you were?
Mm-hmm. And we were sitting there when the president's voice came over declaring war. And after that, we couldn't travel nights with any lights on our cars.
It must have been quite an impact at that
it
time.
Was.
Did it was. It certainly must have put a damper on your spirits at the beginning of that rehearsal period or whatever.
It was quite a frightening thing. But however, we didn't realize exactly, we didn't realize the enormity of this thing until maybe weeks later. We didn't know what was going to happen and why it was happening. But there's where we were when it happened.
The Gildersleeve show gave you plenty of opportunities to sing as well, didn't it? You
yes,
got to
on
sing
Easter
quite a bit.
I would sing in Christmas time. I'd mm-hmm. sing. There was a beautiful little song we would sing. I would sing rather on Christmas. It was an old song from the 17th century. It was about the Christ child, the baby. Mm-hmm. And on Christmas, I would sing, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?"
Mm-hmm. I can remember one of the shows. There was a storyline that stands out in my memory, the possibility of you were going to leave the Gildersleeve household, Bertie was, and she was going to go home and... I think you were auditioning for, just before you were leaving, you were auditioning for a role in the Summerfield Music Festival or something.
Yes.
And you sang, I think you sang Going Home or something. It was,
yes,
it was a beautiful...
Yes, something like that. I didn't know. You know, I'd almost forgotten that. Yeah, I remember doing that.
There was so much warmth in that show. And it's interesting because the Gildersleeve character created on the Fibber McGee and Molly show was a harsh, abrasive kind of a guy, always fighting mm-hmm. with Fibber McGee. But when this series began, he took on a whole different kind of a character. And it was warmth, and it was the
Well, he
the
was
niceness.
Himself.
Well, I suppose that's right.
Yes, he was himself. He was just a fine man.
You were one of the characters on the show that always got one up on the Gildersleeve. Anyway, I mean,
yes.
You're always like one step ahead of him, weren't you?
well, there was no wife or mother.
Uh-huh.
And this was a home where he had a nephew and a niece.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, of course, Margie and Leroy. Well, I was the housekeeper, and, of course, I had been around them supposedly for many, many years,
mm-hmm.
and I was more or less like a mother to them. And I'd quarrel with him if he didn't pick up things. So we just enjoyed it. It was a lovely, lovely family thing.
It was a great show, and you made a great contribution to it, you know.
Yep, I was happy doing it.
Now, did Beulah continue, the Beulah show continue after Gildersleeve went off? Or did that...
No, it folded.
It ended before that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it did.
Now, when you were on Beulah, it had changed its time period every once in a while. It was at times a 15-minute show, I think 5 days a week, and then in some cases a half hour.
Well, let me tell you about the Beulah show. There were several Beulahs. Ethel Waters did Beulah out of New York.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hattie did it out here. And another woman, a character woman who has passed away, Louise Beavers,
mm-hmm.
she did a part of it. And after that, I continued on. But the show was a good show, but it wasn't a show that I was attached to like I was the Great Gildersleeve show.
Well, you had created the character of Bertie, mm-hmm. and... I don't think anyone else could have played it.
That was my own, and I liked it. So now what I do is I do quite a bit of picture work now. And
when I talked with you before we had a chance to get together now, you said you were waiting for a call from a picture that you were going to go into this week or next, somewhere along the line.
Yes.
What is that? No, that's what
it's
we're talking about today.
It's a picture called Roots.
Uh-huh.
And there are 12 episodes in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm in one of the episodes,
mm-hmm.
number 5. Before you leave today, I'll show you the script.
Oh, fine.
Uh-huh. And I'm in that. This is a different type of movie than any that I've already done, because I think each one of these, is, as much as I understand about it, each one is a different story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they intend to make a serial out of it.
Yeah, it's for television.
I think it is.
I think so. They mm-hmm. start off probably with a two-hour episode, and then it's like a limited series,
uh-huh.
actually.
Uh-huh. There's quite a number of named actors mm-hmm. and actresses in it, too.
And what kind of a role will you have in this?
It's a slave picture, as you mm-hmm. know. And I have the part of what do they call me? Sarah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm an old slave, and there's a young woman that I'm trying to get her. She's a widow or something. Yes, she's a widow.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to get her interested in another young man because I think that she should have a husband.
Uh-huh. You've been doing lots of picture work over the years?
Yes, quite a number. Mm-hmm. I've done quite a number of pictures.
Did you ever do any voice work for any of the animated cartoons on TV or in the movies?
Mm-hmm. You know Tom and Jerry?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, you know, remember the legs, the striped stockings, and the big feet of the cook, and that was all you could see?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
with Tom and Jerry. That's my voice.
That was you. We your legs made the...
My legs and big feet. Oh, listen, the funniest thing, I saw that cartoon in Japan.
You did?
With a Japanese woman doing it. I laughed. I'm telling you, I was sitting in a theater. And it was real funny. And they still show it over there. They show it around here a lot of places.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a bonus now. We didn't know that you were in the cartoon.
Uh-huh, yes, I did that.
Now, you got involved in television, too, after in the 50s, didn't you? Didn't you do some on-camera work for TV?
Oh, yes, but I can't remember all the things I did. I've done quite a lot of work.
You've had an amazing career.
Mm-hmm.
And
I just got through
mm-hmm.
doing a commercial for the Wesson Oil people, which will be out soon.
Oh, fine. And you'll be on camera talking about
Wesson
Oil?
Uh-huh, by myself. Nobody else is on there.
Talking to no one but...
And I had fried some chicken, mm-hmm. and it was very crispy and nice.
Uh-huh.
So maybe I shouldn't say anything about this now.
Well, that's all right. Well, that gives us a chance to those of us who are listening to you chat today and remember you and so many interesting radio roles. Now we'll say, now we get a chance to see her, and we'll look for, Wesson will say, hey, that's great, now we got a lot more people looking for the commercial.
Yes, well, that's what I'll be, you'll be seeing me mm-hmm. on TV next.
keep you in the kitchen a lot, from Kraft mayonnaise to Wesson oil.
I don't mind it at all. It's work, and I'm an actress. Right. Uh-huh. So what difference does it make what type of character I play?
You've been fortunate. You have worked almost all of the time from the point where you first got interested in the
area. Had quite a bit of work. Uh-huh. And some work that I have had lately I've turned down because if it was a character that was in a picture that was where there was a lot of pornography, I didn't want any part of it. Because I'm an old fuddy-duddy, I don't go for that.
Well, it's nice that you have that kind of integrity, too.
Yes. I'm a Christian. And my life isn't like that. And none of my family are like that. So I don't care for that sort of thing. And I wouldn't want my children or the members of my church to see me in a picture
that's
of that
right,
kind. But do you think that's silly?
No, I think that's realistic, and I think that's wonderful.
Well, that's me, whether it's silly or not. I'm not going to do it.
You've done some great things, Lillian Randolph, and we appreciate you taking a few moments to spend some time to share your career with us today.
Well, I like to see young people go ahead doing things and being progressive in all their work. The thing, now here you are out here talking to me in Los Angeles and you live in Chicago. Isn't that nice?
It's nice for us to be here.
I think that's very nice. And I appreciate you coming over.
Well, thank you very much. We're glad to be here. And thank you for all the great many hours and hours of entertainment you've given us.
Well, let's hope to God that I can continue to do it.
We hope so, too. We'll look forward to it. Thank you very
much. All righty. Bye.